Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we're back. Second hour, we'll talk more about the draft. That is tomorrow night. Kimberly Martin from ESPN joining us in a few minutes. We've already had Brian Branch on, the All-American safety from Alabama, surefire number one pick. And let's continue with more phone calls. And Isaac is up next in Georgia. Hello, Isaac.
Hey, Paul. This is Isaac. I just called a second ago. I got cut off. I was calling about the NFL draft and Georgia's football room.
Right.
The first question was, who do you think is gonna go first in the draft? Bryce Young, Jalen Carter, or C.J. Stroud?
Bryce Young.
Yeah, I was gonna think that. My second question is, what's your thoughts on Carson Beck in the Georgia spring game?
I will base it on what everyone else has said that saw the game and was there. I wasn't there. I think he clearly outperformed everyone else. I think Georgia has a really good quarterback room, though. I think the other two guys are capable. You know, there are a couple of things about Carson Beck that make some people uncomfortable in terms of how he deals with pressure, but we really haven't seen enough of that. I mean, he has not been in that situation yet. He will be soon. But I think he's a very capable starter for Georgia. Thank you for the call. Let's check out Jason, who is also in Georgia. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Okay, Jason. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to take a little shot at the Alabama fans. Paul, do you think that Kirby could come to Alabama in 3 or 4 years? I mean, please, Paul.
I
mean,
I can't think of anything Kirby would rather do than leave Georgia to go back to Alabama.
I mean, after all, we're Alabama, Paul. I mean, we are Alabama. I mean, that's just Georgia. I mean, why would Kirby want to leave the place that he grew up and went to school, his wife grew up and went to school? I mean, we're Alabama, Paul. I mean, of course he would come to Alabama. And especially since we're down to taking the second string of the second string from Notre Dame, maybe. We need Kirby to come and save us.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about Kirby, he still got the three quarterbacks he recruited after Stetson Bennett. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in with the new guy in Alabama. Are you there?
Happy Wednesday, Paul.
Happy Wednesday.
Let me say, first of all, I'm a long-time listener, but this is my first time calling.
Well, thank you.
And I just really got one question for you, if you could just bear with me for a second.
Okay.
I want to say how much I love all the callers on this show, even Jim, and I'm praying for Larry. And I also have to say, as true entertainment is concerned, legend is the king. And even when I can't catch the entire show, I find myself scrubbing in my recording to find his homily. So as a longtime member of the Disassociative Identity Disorder Club, I know that's a mouthful because I'm a proud alumnus of both the University of Alabama and Mississippi State University, schools in which one historically does a lot of winning and the other one does a lot of whining. I want to say that I found something very interesting. You said that you had British ancestry or your ancestors were from Britain, but you also said Germany. So I'm not going to split the hairs there.
No, different sides of the family. My grandfather on my father's side was born in London. My grandparents on my mother's side are both from Eastern Europe.
Okay. Well, Paul, let me tell you something. I have found some very interesting video from London, mid-century London, and I would love to share it with you. Maybe one of your staff members could tell me after the call how I could share.
Sure,
it.
I tell you what, I will put you on hold, and they'll give you the information. Thank you for joining us for the first time. Thank you very, very much. James is in Houston. Hello, James.
Hello, Mr. Finnebaum.
Hi there.
I had a question about the SEC alignment. Are they going to do a north-south split East and West, or are they going to do something crazy like the ACC does for fear that, you know, a Western division, for example, may not give the Alabama-Georgia winner a good game? What do you think? How are they going to align?
It will be one conference, no divisions. The top two schools will play for the championship. Most likely, not 100%, but very well likely that we'll have nine games, one adding a conference game. Every school will have three permanent rivals and then rotate everyone else.
Oh, I like that idea. I like that. All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. Finnenbaum. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you called. Thank you. And we are moving toward that moment. Bob is up next. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, good show today, Paul. I was going to talk about Auburn a little bit. They recruited a guy out of Huntsville up here, UAH, named Chaney Johnson. Supposed to be a really good player. And I just losing faith in Coach Pearl. He can't seem to get a 20-point lead and lose at the end. What do you think about his chances this year of staying at Auburn much longer?
I think his chances of staying at Auburn much longer are pretty good, considering about a year and a half ago he signed a long-term deal.
Yeah, but you know them. They get mad. And you might win a national
Well, I'll say this, Bob.
If
you can go out and find somebody better than Bruce Pearl, good luck. I think he's easily the best coach Auburn has had.
I agree. I just wanted all these good players, don't seem to be producing.
Well,
like
right now,
right now,
managing basketball players and basketball rosters is difficult because they come and go so quickly. Look at Nate Oates. I mean, he's lost almost his entire staff, his entire team. It's just the nature of college athletics. But basketball is even more punishing. You lose one or two players in basketball, and it can do you in. Football, you have a much better chance of overcoming that. Let's check out Lance in Arkansas next. Hey, Lance, go right ahead.
Hey, first-time caller. Can't believe I got through.
I'm glad you made it.
Well, thank you. This is kind of an off-the-wall question, and I was just wondering, is there a statistic or count or anything for how many times players or a player from a certain team gets hurt? The reason I'm asking, I've been an Aggie fan a lot, although it's getting harder and harder the last couple of years. But when I got to see them on TV a few times last year, I was astounded at how many times one of their players would be either slow to get up or not get up at the end of a play. Is there
I don't know if it's a readily available statistic, but there certainly are numbers that the schools know about, and they watch that stuff pretty closely. And I mean, so the officials watch it too. They want to make sure if you're hurt, you're hurt, but you're not just doing that to do it. Thanks for the call. It's interesting, and good luck with the Aggies this year. Wesley is in Georgia. Hey, Wesley.
Hey, Paul, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I would like to talk, and I wish you could let me finish, but...
Well, go ahead.
A while ago you said a smear campaign against C.J. Stroud because of his test. But I want to say that ESPN commentators, broadcasters, for almost 3 years now has smeared a man that worked his tail off, won all kind of honors, and y'all have totally smeared him for
Wesley, if I could join this conversation, can you give me one specific of this allegation?
Well, just one.
Well, no, don't. No, you just got through accusing a major network of smearing C.J. Stroud. All I want from you.
No, sir. I am not.
Well, say what. We don't have time to interpret. What are you saying here?
I'm saying y'all have smeared Stetson Bennett for 3 years.
Okay, Wesley. Give me a specific of how we have smeared Stetson Bennett.
Well,
No, Wesley. Again, I'm not losing my cool here, but you just I misunderstood you. But you just accused the network of smearing somebody, and all I want is one specific. Give me one. One time, give me a name of a commentator and what that person said.
Well, Paul, I'm going to say it's every.
No, that is no. Wesley, you're full of crap, and because you can't give me a reason. Give me one person. You can't name one person.
You, for one, Paul.
What have I said?
Well, you said he ain't a very good quarterback. He's not 6 foot. You say he's 5'10".
Wesley, I don't know what your definition of defamation is. That is not smearing. That's an opinion. Have you ever gone to Todd Monken or Kirby Smart and asked them why they didn't think he was any better than four string?
Sir, I watched him win two national
I don't care. Wesley, I know exactly. You're speaking after the fact. I'm speaking before the fact.
Well, Booger McFarland just.
What did he say? Like, what did
when
he say?
He was in the first game. He said, well, against Michigan 2 years ago. He said, well, he did the job, but can he do it again? And then he went and beat
Wesley,
Alabama.
That is not smearing someone. That is an opinion. You need to understand the difference. It is perfectly by the way, Booger McFarland also said they'll never win a national championship with Stetson Bennett, if I could help your rather pathetic argument. The point being, I thought Stetson Bennett was a very good college quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a good pro quarterback. Tomorrow night, if you watch, will support my theory. Winning after the fact and comments before are two different things. So he achieved a great deal. He's accomplished tremendous things. I voted for him in spite of all my smear campaign in my final three in the Heisman. So that would be my final argument. I'm still waiting for your opening argument. We'll take a short break. Kimberly Martin from ESPN will join us in a minute.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. The draft mere hours away, and Kimberly Martin covering it for ESPN. She is in Indianapolis, where big decisions will have to be made. Kimberly, thank you for joining us. We certainly believe is a key word, Bryce Young will be off the board. We don't know where what else Indianapolis will be deciding. But in terms of the quarterbacks after Bryce Young, how do you see it?
Yeah, you know what? The crazy thing is, Paul, that the idea of which quarterbacks, the chaos that I expect to see Thursday night, almost mirrors the chaos that has sort of been here in Indy. Like, this is a team that literally, the last few years, it's been chaotic at quarterback, and we don't know how Thursday will shake out. But I can tell you, they like the top four quarterbacks that we've been talking about, the Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. But one thing to keep in mind that I've heard a little bit is this draft isn't just about four quarterbacks. There are others beyond that, and that's a point that's been hammered home as well. But when you look at Bryce Young, obviously he's described as a kid with magic. So, okay, you think he's at one. But the other quarterbacks, they like them. They like them all, but they all have holes, and that's what's so interesting. Right now, I don't even think the Colts know exactly who they're going to take because it all depends on what the Texans do. That's a team that needs a quarterback, but will they take one? Could they wait till later to take a quarterback? So I think the Colts have to see how the board shakes out, but C.J. Stroud, they're high on him. Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, they all have tremendous skill sets that could actually help this team.
And there's also been a lot of speculation about Hendon Hooker getting in there. We talked to him the other day, and he alluded to that. And I realize you're reporting on it, but you certainly are someone with strong opinions about this type of situation. So how do or how will anyone differentiate? Because you have Anthony Richardson, who's an athletic freak. The other ones all have their prowess. So from you, if you, I don't want to make you have to sit there, but you're there anyway. So who would you take?
Who would I take? I would take C.J. Stroud. But the why it's so hard, but let's say the draft happens Thursday and they take Anthony Richardson. I also love that pick too. The interesting thing about the Colts right now is their new head coach, Shane Steichen. You know, with Frank Reich, it was Frank has a prototypical type. That was always the thing here in Indy. And it made sense with Carson Wentz, taller guy. With Shane Steichen, flexibility is really a key word that they're using in this building. They have the flexibility. They want, I sat down with Chris Ballard, their GM, yesterday. He said, we want our offensive system to fit the skill set of whoever we take. And there are a lot of guys that we like. And Shane's versatility, being able to curate an offense, as we saw with Jalen Hurts, like you're able to curate the offense to take advantage of what your QB does best. That's why it's so hard to pinpoint what the Colts will do or some of these other teams. But particularly the Colts, because it's for the first time, they've really opened up what they want to do. They're open to a lot of different guys, and it really is how that board falls.
Kimberly, it's entirely possible C.J. Stroud could go two or three or four somewhere in there, but there does seem this feeling, I don't know if it's legitimate or not, that there is a little bit of a sellout on him. If so, why?
That's been interesting because I've asked a lot of GMs over the last couple weeks, like, why does it seem like CJ's falling? And every year we kind of have this moment. I feel like a couple years ago it was Justin Fields. Personally, it's bothersome because I think things are said about young players coming out. And a lot of it is unsubstantiated. We've seen, for example, Justin Fields be not a last guy in the building, first guy out. He has been a true professional up in Chicago. And with C.J. Stroud, you know, you're dealing with guys, they all have different personalities. You have to understand how these prospects move. Some of them don't trust people. They're not trusting at first. You've got to get to know these guys, and these are extremely stressful situations that they're all in. But for C.J., everybody I've talked to has said, you know what, I don't care what the tests say. When I turn on the film, when I turn on the tape and I watch him play, he can process just fine. He has pocket awareness. He's one of the, some have said he's the best pure passer in this draft class. So hopefully, whatever team ends up picking CJ, they love him. He's in a good position. I don't know why he would be falling because he really does have all the tools.
And you mentioned the aptitude tests. I have no earthly idea what's on them other than what I've seen passing around. But after all this and having endless number of in-person meetings and dinners and everything else, why would that matter that much?
Well, here's why the draft is so difficult to figure out and project what each team will do, because it's not always about who's the best player. The best player doesn't always get picked at that particular spot. Every team evaluates guys differently. They have certain benchmarks. Some teams will think, oh, I actually like that quarterback, but we just paid our quarterback a lot last year, so we shouldn't go get a quarterback. And I think with these tests, some teams will say, if they were on the fence about a guy, they'll say, okay, well, that's information that I can use to sort of corroborate what I already think. But I have seen guys in the NFL who have scored well on tests, and they do dumb things in actual football games. That's the reality. And that's why it's a guess. Everybody is projecting. Everybody sees tools, skill sets and tools that they love about a guy, and they are projecting what they think he will be with good coaching. But there are a lot of good test takers who turn out to be bad football players. So at the end of the day, most scouts will rely on what their eyes tell them on the field, in college, what we see. And then when they bring him in on those visits, what is he doing with us? Sitting him down, having a conversation so we feel comfortable about him. We know how smart he is based off of what we do and what we've asked him. So I think that is actually, for a lot of teams, more important than just a particular aptitude test.
Kimberly, one more, and I realize it may not involve where you are, although it could. The conversation, if there is one, between the two defensive giants in this draft, Will Anderson and of course, Jalen Carter, who are both considered at the top when it comes to defensive ability.
So here's what I find really interesting, again, when it comes to the draft and where guys could be. Because I actually talked to a GM recently about Jalen Carter, and he said, you know, my biggest question is I just want to know who I'm getting. That's why it's important that these visits are critical, because you can hear, you can read, things can be out there about different guys. Some teams aren't as high on Will, isn't as high on Will. Some aren't as high on Jalen. Like, it's all subjective, but at the end of the day, every team has to decide, who am I getting, and who do I think can help us win football games? So I think here in Indy, we're looking quarterback. But those two guys are going to go extremely high, I think.
Great stuff. Kimberly Martin joining us from Indianapolis. You'll see her all day, all night, probably early in the morning tomorrow on ESPN. Mm. Thank you, Kimberly, very, very much. We take a break. Much more to come here. We've already had Brian Branch expected to go in the top first round, one of the premier safeties in the draft from Alabama. Your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Some guests to come, talking some college football issues. Let's get back to our calls. And Timothy is up next. Hello, Timothy.
Hey, Paul. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't know what the guy was talking about, talking about y'all smearing CJ Stroud.
What was confusing, and I apologize to the audience for like losing my cool, but he was talking about CJ Stroud, and then he assumed that I knew what he was talking about in reference to Stetson Bennett, and then when I asked him to name me something, he just said me. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't he say me at the beginning? Because if you're going to accuse an entire network of smearing somebody, have some facts. That's all.
Right. You were correct. But my big question was, is I was going to ask you, do you think Tennessee, because I think at worst they're the third best team in all of the SEC, and I truly think they could go to the SEC championship this year, and I just want to get your opinions on that.
I think it's possible, Timothy, and I hate to always be the schedule guy, but when you play your toughest opponent at home, it gives you a tremendous advantage, and
that's
what cost Tennessee last year. They couldn't deal with. I don't know what happened in the Georgia game, other than Georgia was really a superior team on that day. But Tennessee has a shot. I think their team could be in some ways better next year in terms of completeness. Now, they don't have some of the skill position players, but they have adequate replacements, I think.
Right. I really think it all comes down to the defense this year. If it can be better, if it's like in the middle of the pack, but I think it really comes down to that. I think our offense is still going to click just because Josh Heupel is just a freaking wizard.
Yes.
That's offensive mind, and he's probably, in my mind, he's top two offensive mind in college football. How he's been turning this program around so quickly.
And sometimes with wizards, ultimately or eventually, you can find a way to slow them down. Nobody has come up with that plan yet after two seasons of Josh. Thank you for the call. G is up next in Arizona. Hello, G.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to weigh in on the quarterback controversy, I guess it is. I am a Georgia man, graduated from there. Anyway, I'm here to admit that Mr. Young was the best quarterback in college football, followed by C.J. Stroud. Stetson was great, but I've got a theory, and that theory is that in the draft, it's not so much the quarterback, but where they go and the coaching they're going to receive that matches up with their skills that's going to determine success. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% correct. Hey, thank you. Great to hear from you from Arizona. Tommy is in Georgia. Hello, Tommy.
How you doing, Paul? First time caller, man.
Thank you. Welcome in.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, what do you think about the possibility of a three-peat for Georgia and also the utter dismissal and disrespect of Stetson Bennett?
To me, the Stetson Bennett situation is a real conundrum because everybody respects what he did, but that doesn't always translate to the NFL. And it is not a disrespect that NFL scouts who are part of a multi-billion dollar system don't like him. That's just the way things are. And maybe tomorrow we'll all be surprised, although there's no evidence we will be. And, the question isn't Stetson in the first round. The Stetson is, will he be drafted at all? And then he'll have an opportunity like anyone else to make an NFL club. But that's not disrespect. That's just an evaluation. And I think fans get so hung up. I mean, I have heard a statement 1,000 times on this show by our guests. It was criminal that Hendon Hooker wasn't in New York for the Heisman. It really wasn't criminal. 1,000 people vote on the Heisman Trophy, and the top percentage vote getters go to New York. This year, there were 3 candidates. He wasn't one of them. He came in fifth. So let's not get carried away here. Nobody's disrespecting Stetson Bennett. I don't see him as a good prospect either. That doesn't mean he wasn't a 2-time national championship winning quarterback. He had a lot of help, though. I think the question that has to be asked at Georgia the last 2 years, and I don't have the answer. I'll let you guys answer it. Would Georgia have won the national championship with someone else at quarterback? Last year may not. He played a big role in the Ohio State game, which was the defining game of the season. Chris is up next in South Carolina. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Paul, man, first time caller. Long time listener. I'm gonna tell you right now, Paul, man, I don't text about 5 people say, hey, I'm about to be on the Paul Feinbaum show. So Paul, before I get to my question to you, man, I wanna give a shout out to my brother Tony Bell. He's a Florida State fan as well as me. My brother in law, Corey Robinson, he's a Clemson fan. My brother in Christ, Thomas Jones, he's a Clemson fan, so we have rivalries. So Paul, my question is, I pulled up South Carolina because they're the home team. I've been a Florida State fan since 1993. I know you pro SEC, but to get a national, opinion. Now, to me, I think Florida State is on the way back. For the past year or two, Mike Norvell has been, getting everything together. All right. Now, I think this year with the ACC going to that pod system, and it sounds like the SEC is going to have the same kind of pod system, but with ACC doing that, I think Clemson and Florida State will meet twice this year, in the regular season and in Charlotte at the championship game. With that being said, I think Clemson time is starting to run out. because Florida State is on the rise back. I'm not saying that just to be a fan. I'm truly not saying that just to be a fan, but I just see so much improvement now. And now, you know, with them starting to come back, you know, the ACC is going to get Clemson and Florida State either some way or another, you know, in the playoff system. But if we can get one more true player in the ACC to get to Clemson and Florida State level a little bit, I think ACC will be all right. But your opinion between Clemson and Florida State, do you think they have a chance to meet twice this year? And then what do you think about those two programs? Thank you for your opinion, man. And I'm stuttering because I'm excited to be on the show, man. So next time I call, I'll be a little more calmer. Thank you, Paul.
Chris, thank you. I thought you did a great job, and I'm glad we can welcome you here and all your friends. I think Florida State is back, and I think the ACC, depending on the year, can be really good. North Carolina was a disappointment last year. They might bounce back this year with one of the great quarterbacks in the country. So you have a number of schools in the ACC that are competent. You know, NC State was really good last year until Leary got hurt. Here's the schedule for Florida State. We know about LSU. Where else could they lose? Well, pretty obvious, to Clemson. That game is early. After that, I think they're in pretty good shape. There's always a tricky game or two. Pittsburgh in November, you know, at the Gators at the end. But I think Clemson is on the decline. FSU is on the rise. And we may see the early, you know, the 2000, the period when Clemson couldn't beat Florida State before they finally started ending that bugaboo. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I got thinking in that guy's defense where he said ESPN, you know, it was putting down Stetson Bennett. Do you think he thinks Legend's on the payroll?
I guess. And listen, I probably should just sit here and keep my mouth shut. But when somebody just makes a blanket statement, Johnny B., I don't even want a manifesto. I just want one person that you can quote, and it was pretty obvious to all of us, the guy couldn't quote anyone, so he blamed me for it all.
If you're going to do something like that, at least go back through some
yeah,
you know, do a little, write,
yeah, say on November 14th, Stephen A. Smith blasted, but he couldn't make that claim.
You ever wonder what happened to Stephen B. through L. Smith? We know A and M. I just wonder.
Well, we also know M. Yeah, we know M. I don't.
A through, yeah, B.
Somebody
through
ought
L,
to call themselves Stephen B. Smith.
Hey, this my basically what I was wanting to get to is you talked earlier about C.J. Stroud saying he was not a test taker. You know, every snap you get is a test. It's read-based. There's not very much of this, hey, you go 15 yards and take a right, you run a go route. It's all read-based, and a lot of study is required. And, you know, to me, Bryce Young was a master at that. Hendon Hooker has to be to understand Heupel's offense. So I think a lot of people are confused. You know, you'll see a pass go somewhere, and it's like, well, what was that quarterback thinking? Well, the quarterback did his work, and based on the play of the defense, you have to let it fly now. You can't wait for them to make a break and stare them down. It's got, you know, the talent on both sides. You've got to be able to read and be smart, and that's a big part of it to me.
It is. Now, the aptitude test can hurt you probably more than they can help you. Hey, thank you, Johnny B. We're heading to our break here. More of your phone calls continue. A couple more guests in the final 2 hours. We've been busy on this Wednesday afternoon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and let's continue with more. JD up next in Birmingham. Hello, JD.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy? Can you hear me? Okay?
You sound great. Thank you.
Good. Everybody's talking about the Stetson Bennett quarterback comparison. How many championships, national championships, has Alabama won in the last 20 years?
Well, they've won six.
Six. How many of those quarterbacks are still in the NFL?
Three.
My point is, just because you can win a national championship in college doesn't mean that you can play the NFL game. That's just a different brand of ball.
I hate to bring the best example to you, but Tim Tebow was part of two national championships, and his NFL career was certainly dubious.
Well, I can think of a few. Like Jay Barker, he's not an NFL quarterback, but he figured out a way to win a national championship.
Yeah, but I think we get confused. And having covered Jay Barker, I mean, his contribution to that national championship was limited because they had the best defense in the country. Same thing for Jake Coker in 2015. Alabama's defense was spectacular, meaning the quarterback, even though he had all-world receivers and running backs, didn't have to do that much.
Well, I mean, that goes to show that the secret to winning a national championship is never change. Run the football, stop the run, and don't turn the ball over.
True.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
That is correct.
You can win national championships.
You're 100% correct. Yeah, I mean, we get – and that's why I think the Stetson Bennett argument is faulty. He was one of the better big-game quarterbacks I've seen, but he had a lot of help. And, you know, 2 years ago, I'm trying to think of the games in my head, but you know, he played a role this year in the big game. There were only two or three big games all year. So, for the most part, it's been the defense at Georgia, just like it was at Alabama. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Jack in Savannah. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, buddy?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I was listening to you about an hour ago, and I heard this guy, Wesley, talking. Paul, I live in Savannah, so I know about these Bulldog fans. And like I told the young man who took the call for me, that when they're winning, they fly them G's all day long, them flags. But when they're losing, you can't find them on a milk cart nowhere. They're just fair weather fans. And then really, and I don't, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, living in Savannah. I don't dislike the players. It's these fans. They're delusional. They won two back-to-back. That is great. But Alabama got a 100-year head start on you guys, okay? Calm down. And I think Kirby learned more from Nick Saban than he did from them Georgia coaches that he was playing with. So that's my take for the day. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, thanks for the call and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hope all is well.
We're doing well.
Three questions. One, and this is just your thought. How has the NIL and portal changed the style of coaching and recruiting? Because, one, do you recruit seniors in high school or do you go after, say, juniors in college? And, two, do you plant – now, this is for the bigger schools. Do you plan other coaches at lower-tier schools to develop and feed you in your program at year two, three, and four? And my third question is, where do you see college football in the next 5 to 10 years?
Drew, it's had a tremendous effect. I think it's leveled the playing field, and you know, people are asking about Nick Saban. I don't think Nick Saban has changed one iota. I think the advantages that Nick Saban had 5 years ago, he no longer has. And I think that's one reason why he was so angry a year ago about NIL, because he saw it firsthand. He saw players that he wanted and somebody offered them more money. I think the hardest part of your question is figuring out college football over the next 5 years for this reason. The biggest change in modern college football history is occurring next year. We're watching the consolidation, not the consolidation, but the addition of two the two most important leagues, and Alabama, you know, suddenly is welcome, and Auburn and everyone else is welcoming in Texas and Oklahoma. You have Southern Cal, one of the top five programs in college football history, going to the Big Ten. New television deals, a college football playoff. So next year will really set the table for the next couple of years.
Oh, I totally agree. And, I mean, I'm thinking, like, at this point, do you bring psychologists in to help you with coaching? And then I look at other schools like UCF, who 20, 30 years ago were Division II, and I look at the, you know, just where they're headed, and even the Jacksonville States and Troy States and Liberties of where they'll be in another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, those programs are really improving. Troy's having a phenomenal run right now with a new coach. You mentioned some of the other ones. Thank you for the call. We have 2 hours to go, plenty of time to figure this out for today. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.